Apostolic Church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for bringing us into your holy house. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. Give to us understanding. Give to us joy as we receive from you. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very warm good morning to all of you. From now, that's July, until October, we're going to be doing a sermon series called Insights from Isaiah. Can we see the first slide, please? Insights from Isaiah. It was supposed to start today, but in actual fact, the sermon series already began last week, because last week, Bishop Rennes already spoke on Isaiah 60. And this was something that no human being could have planned, because he didn't know that we wanted to speak on Isaiah, and we didn't know that he was going to preach on Isaiah. So to me, it is comforting that the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows and who puts all things together. And it's a sign that actually he wants to give a fresh word to us, to all of us, in this season, through this major prophet, the book of Isaiah. You may say, last week, Bishop Rennes spoke on Isaiah 60. Today, I'm going to speak on Isaiah 10. And you will say, what kind of series is this? A jumping series? Shouldn't a series be sequential, going chapter 1, 2, 3, and so on? And the answer is no, we are not going that way. But we are going instead by whatever the Holy Spirit lays on the hearts of the preachers from the book of Isaiah, regardless of chapter. There'll be three of us doing this series, Pastor T. Lian Swan, Pastor Grace Tan, and myself. So it's not every week we will have this series, but only when one of us preaches. Today's topic, may I see the next slide, please? Today's topic is yoked no more. Yoked no more. Notice that the word is yoke. It is not yoke. Can we see the slide, please? Yoke is in Y-O-L-K. It's very familiar to you. It's the yellow part of an egg. But we're not talking about that yolk. We're talking about Y-O-K-E, which is actually a curved piece of wood that's put on the neck of a bull, put on the neck of an animal. And when the animal has this yolk around its neck, it has to do hard labor, hard work. It has to pull heavy loads. So in other words, the yoke is symbolic of slavery. It's symbolic of oppression. Symbolic of something very heavy upon our shoulders. In the context of Isaiah 10, it was Assyria that had placed a yoke upon Judah. The king of Assyria was oppressing Judah and planning to destroy it. In the ancient world, Assyria was well known for its cruelty. Assyrian kings had a special way of torturing their enemies. They would strip off the skin of their enemies, not when the enemies are dead, but when the enemies are still alive. Strip off the skin of the enemies, and then take that skin and put it to plaster to cover the pillars. Oh, if that is not bad enough, there's something even worse than they did. They would take a stake, which is like a wooden pole, and then they would hammer it into the anus of the enemies. And so it goes on. The list of terror tactics is too terrible to talk about, so I will stop here. But it is enough to know that Assyria had placed a yoke upon the neck of Judah. And it would seem that the terror was not just for Bible times, but the terror continues to this day. Next slide, please. The capital of ancient Assyria was Nineveh. And if you trace where ancient Nineveh was, it is in the same vicinity as the present-day Mosul. And Mosul, you know, is the place from where ISIS operates. So it would seem that the spirit of terror, right from Bible times, continues to this day, the spirit of torture, the spirit of terror. But you know, the yoke, it doesn't just speak of Judah and Assyria. In fact, the yoke has personal application for all of us. And I would say that nearly all of us are under some kind of yoke or another. For some of us, it is bad health, ill health, which is preventing us from living life to the fullest. We read in Luke chapter 13 how there was a woman who was so, she had such terrible back trouble that she was bent over double. And she was this way for 18 years. No one could heal her. No one could help her. And then Jesus came and Jesus said, it is Satan who had put a disabling spirit into this woman. In other words, this yoke for the woman was an attack on her health. For some of us, we are under the yoke of bad health. For some of us, the yoke is financial. We are in serious money trouble. And this money trouble never seems to go away. It weighs heavy upon our hearts all the time. For others of us, the yoke refers to a person. A person who's oppressing us. A person who is always putting us down. The good news is, no matter what our yoke is, God desires to break that yoke. Next slide, please. A slide. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah 10, 27. This is the good old King James Version of the Bible. It says the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Actually, if you read different versions of the Bible, you will find that this verse comes out very differently. So let's look at the next slide. The New King James Version says the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Next slide. ESV, English Standard Version. The yoke will be broken because of the fat. Next slide. NIV, New International Version. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. And next slide. Complete Jewish Bible. The yoke will be destroyed by your prosperity. So many different versions. They all sound so different. I'm sure you must be wondering, which one is correct? Actually, that's a wrong question to ask. Because to the Jewish people, the Bible has many different layers of meaning. So the question is not which one is correct, but in fact, all can be correct. It's just that they bring out different emphasis of the truth. And so let me show you how this is so. Next slide, please. The Hebrew word in Isaiah 10, 27 is shaman. And shaman actually means grease, liquid, oil, or olive oil. That's the literal meaning. And the figurative meaning is fat or richness. Fat, either in the sense of what we know, fat, or fat in the figurative sense, the goodness of the earth, the richness of the crop, good harvest. So, shaman has all these meanings. And God is going to destroy our yoke. How will he do so? Next slide, please. Isaiah 10 says that God will do it in two ways. I read this verse to you, verses 16 to 17. The Lord God of hosts will send wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled, like the burning of fire. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame. and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. That's Isaiah 10, 16 to 17. How will God destroy the yoke? Isaiah says, in two ways, a slow way and a fast way. The slow way is compared to a wasting disease. You know that when a person has a disease that makes your body waste away, it is a slow process. But at the same time, Isaiah compares the breaking of the yoke to a very fast method, a raging fire that can destroy everything in just one day. Two methods. And let's look at these two methods, because I believe that just as God used them to destroy the yoke of Assyria, so too God will use the same two methods to destroy our yokes. Next slide, please. A slow method and a fast method. First, the slow method. I used to have a robe, R-O-B-E, with a button around my neck. And everything was fine. Until one day, the button burst open by itself. And so, very quickly, I buttoned it back again. But within a few minutes, the button burst open by itself. And this happened a few times. Until finally, I got the idea. There's nothing wrong with the button. But the problem was, I had grown too fat. You know, it's the same with an animal. If an animal wears a wooden yoke around its neck, but the animal grows too fat, the neck grows too fat, the yoke will be broken. And that is why, next slide, the NIV translates the verse this way. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Do you know something about growing fat? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Very often, it is a long process. I remember when I was in primary school, one of my teachers complained I was too skinny. Oh, I wish my teacher could see me now. She would be so proud of me because I'm no longer skinny. She said I'm too skinny. In fact, she named most of my classmates as being too skinny. And so we were forced to drink milk. We were forced to drink milk in school. It was awful. In fact, some of my friends hated the taste of the milk so much that secretly they would throw it away in the drain. Anyway, I'm happy to report that today none of my classmates is too skinny. It's quite the opposite. The point is this. Growing fat doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It can take a long time. So God may already be doing something in your life to break the yoke by making you so fat, spiritually fat, but you may not even realize it because it is a slow process. In the case of Assyria, as I said, this was a very cruel nation. And because it was so cruel, it was greatly hated by many other nations. Many other nations rebelled against the rule of Assyria. And through this constant fighting over a long period of time, they wore down the power of Assyria until Assyria had, in a sense, a slow death, just like a man who has a wasting disease. It was a slow process. For us, I believe God wants to make us fat, spiritually fat. He doesn't want us to be spiritual skeletons, but He wants us to have spiritual fat, spiritual richness in our lives. And if we will ask Him for this, He will do it for us. The next slide, please. A slow method, also a fast method to destroy the yoke. Next slide. Back to the King James Version. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing. Do you remember the Hebrew word shaman? Let's look at the slide again. Shaman means grease, liquid, oil or olive oil. It doesn't actually mean anointing. And yet, I suppose, the King James Version people translated this verse as anointing because anointing is application of oil. It is application of oil. If you have oil and you anoint it, you rub it in, you smear it onto a person or onto something, you are anointing it. That is the meaning of anointing. And you know that in the Bible, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In the case of Judah, what was the anointing? It could possibly have referred to King Hezekiah, king of Judah. He was a good king who prayed to God when Judah was in grave danger of an attack from Assyria. Hezekiah prayed. God answered that prayer with a mighty deliverance by sending an angel to destroy the Assyrian army. And you can read that in Isaiah 37. And so in this case, we see that God's way of destroying the yoke was very fast, like a raging fire. In just one day, God worked his miracle. Are you under the yoke of someone like the king of Assyria? Many years ago, before I became a pastor, I was a journalist in the Straits Times. I remember I had one particular boss who was to me like the king of Assyria. He was cruel. He was he was bad to most people, but he was especially bad to me because I was a committed Christian and he hated Christians. And he took delight in telling me that he had written something very bad about me in my confidential report. And that was his way of telling me that my career was finished, I would never be promoted, I had might as well resign. He would mock me, he would taunt me by saying things to me like, "Great will be your reward in heaven, because you surely will have no reward on earth." That's how he used to taunt me. Working with him, seeing him every day, was sheer nightmare for me. And so I was praying very hard, as even praying for a way out, because it was already upon my heart that I would leave the Straits Times one day to serve God in full-time Christian ministry. And I was wondering, now, with this editor making life so miserable for me, is this the right time? I wasn't sure. And so I was praying. And just then, God sent a visiting evangelist, a visiting prophet, to the cathedral. Next slide, please. This man, his name was Dick Mills. Dick Mills has an unusual ministry. He would prophesy to people by using Bible verses. And he would choose people he's never met before in his life, total strangers. And he would give you Bible verse after Bible verse, and every Bible verse would be exactly relevant to your situation. And so I very much wanted God to speak to me about the timing. Is this the time I leave the Straits Times and become a pastor? Is this the time? And so I decided that that night I would attend the cathedral rally where Dick Mills was speaking. So I came to the cathedral that night, whole cathedral, jammed full of people, absolutely packed. And I was sitting somewhere there. I knew that humanly speaking, it was very difficult that I would get a prophecy because it's not like today. You know, today, you want a prophecy, you go to the prophet and you say, "Can you prophesy over me?" That's today. In those days, it wasn't that way. In those days, you couldn't even speak. You just had to sit there and wait. If the prophet wanted to call you to stand up, then he would prophesy over you. But if he never called you, you would never get a prophecy. And practically everyone in the cathedral that night wanted a personal word from God. Most would not get it because there was no time to prophesy over everyone. But I went to church that night and I said, "Lord, the church is full of people. But Lord, Call me. Give me a prophecy tonight. Hallelujah. Dick Mills pointed at me and told me to stand. Wow. God really called me. And then he gave me a lot of verses, too many verses that are going through my head. So a friend helped me to write down every single Bible reference. I went home that night and I read all the verses. I will share with you just two of these. Next slide. One of them was Isaiah 14, verse 3. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve. I said, yeah, that's for me. I'm in hard bondage. I'm in fear. Another verse that was given to me, next slide, Isaiah 54, 14. In righteousness, you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. I read those verses the whole night. Still, I didn't know what God was saying. I didn't know, was God saying, leave the Straits Times now? Or was he saying, stay in the Straits Times? I still didn't know. And so I approached my Christian friends the next day. I showed them all the verses. They knew the trouble I was going through at work. They read the verses. And praise God, for the Holy Spirit gave wisdom and understanding to my friends. And they interpreted the verses to me this way. They said, now is not the time for you to leave the Straits Times. You have to stay. And I said, why? They said, firstly, Isaiah 54, 14 says, terror will not come near you. It doesn't say you will run from terror. It says terror will not come near you. So that was their way of interpreting that I will stay in the Straits Times and my boss will resign. I said, what? Impossible. The second reason they gave, they said, you cannot resign from the Straits Times now because they said, how can you leave in defeat? It will be a terrible testimony if you become a pastor in church just because you're a failure in the world. They said, that's a terrible testimony. So now is not the right time for you to leave. I was pondering over their words. I couldn't understand at all. I said, I'm doing so badly at work. My boss is doing so well. If anyone should leave, it would be me. It wouldn't be my boss. But anyway, after praying, I decided to listen to my friends. And so I stayed in the Straits Times. Within a very short time, a very fast time, just 2 weeks later, I heard the news. My boss had resigned. Hallelujah. How did my boss resign? I couldn't believe it. It actually happened because he was mean. He was cruel to so many people that there were so many complaints about him to the higher-up editors. And they put pressure on him to resign. And so it was true. My boss resigned and I remained. Later, the situation changed. Things got better for me in the Straits Times. I did get promoted. And then it was really time for me to leave and to become a full-time Christian minister. That's another testimony, which maybe I will tell you another time. But the point is this. God broke the yoke from off my neck. He broke the yoke that I was under, and he did it through the anointing. Through the anointing, because he used Dick Mills, a servant of God, in this special spiritual gift, the gift of prophecy. And I receive all those verses as a prophecy from the Lord. The rest is history. Hallelujah. God will break our yoke. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Ramashadama, Karamashadama, son. Are you under a yoke this morning? For some of us, Satan has placed a spirit to rob us of our health. For some of us, the yoke is financial. And for some of us, the yoke is a person, like the king of Assyria, a boss or someone so dominant in our life. This person is always putting us down. This morning, if you want to cry out to God to break your yoke, will you raise your hand? Will you raise your hand? Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? The Lord desires to do this for us. The work of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. He desires for us to grow spiritually fat. Hallelujah. To be spiritually rich. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, Lord. You see our hands, you see our hearts. Lord, you know the things we are agonizing over, the things that trouble us, the things that break us, the things that make us feel so defeated. Father, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, to break our yoke, to break our yoke, Lord, whether it be by a slow process or by a fast raging fire, Lord, that you will break our yoke. And Father, even as we turn to you in faith, we know, Lord, that you will do this as a testimony of your glory, and that by our sharing, that many may be edified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Later, we will have Holy Communion. And after Holy Communion, as you are going back to your seats, we invite you to come for prayer. There will be ministry teams in the two side aisles, and we will pray for you. God bless you.